It's the Pirates Week for Sunday, December 13th, 2009.
Only FDC will not catch me, for I am quite elusive. Don't care what they say, I'm still a DJ. My life to live. I transmit our song. They say that it's wrong, 'cause I never paid them the dough. So curse ye, scallywags, you'll never take away my pirate radio.
I am Ragnar Dansdjold, and this is the Pirates Week, a show dedicated to pirate radio, concentrating on the shortwave spectrum. We got some pirates in the news stories for you this week, including an update on that 13-year-old Canadian pirate and some station shutdown in the UK. We're going to go through some relevant forum postings on the internet, including the Free Radio Network and Note Station's log on the Free Radio Weekly. Hey, we only have just a couple off-air recordings for you this week, but if we have time, we're going to do a little transmitter hunting with Steven and Janice a little later in the show. We'll wrap it up with some closing thoughts from me, so stay tuned. It's a Pirates Week.
Almost live from the Fooking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Dansdjold.
Well, hey, how's everybody doing this last week? Kind of getting into the winter DX mode, finally getting a little time. I know Christmas is just around the corner, and geez, I haven't even really started shopping yet. Gonna probably do that after the show is done. Gotta get on it. But anyways, Christmas is coming around, winter is coming, and getting into that classic winter propagation, that low sunspot winter propagation, wintertime ugliness. With the best time to listening lately, at least for me, is the early morning hours, just a couple hours after sunrise and a couple hours before sunset. Seems like daytime listening have been weak signals buried in the static most of the time during the day, but boy, right before sunset, that couple hours before sunset, things really pick up, and that's when I've been having my best luck listening for the Pirates on the 40-meter band. Hour after sunset, I'm not hearing much at all. Pretty much, I know I've seen some logs for 0200, 0100, 0200, 0300, but really, I tend not to listen that late in the evening because not really hearing much just after sunset. And that's kind of what I've been doing. I know we're going to get into as we get into January and February and hunker down in the wintertime, I tend to listen a whole lot more. I'm getting into that mode right now and hopefully have a whole bunch of good off-air recordings for you over the next few months. Unfortunately, this week, not so much. Hey, I did want to also mention the end of an era, sort of. You listen to the Media Geeks, one of my favorite shows, also, as a podcast, you can listen to Paul Rismondel's The Media Geek. A lot of really good free media information. Not so much on pirate radio, though he does do some pirate radio-related stuff, but a lot of free media stuff, indie media stuff. And he's been on the air for, 7, 8 years, something along those lines. He is ending his show and being the I think his Christmas show, the end of December, starting January 1st, there will not be a Media Geek. And kind of sad to see that go. It was one of the main avenues of information that that I used to grab information for this show. And as of January 1st, Media Geek is going silent, which is a real loss to the indie media and free media community. Well, on that sad note, let's get into some pirates in the news.
Pirates in the news.
Well, in the news this week, we have an update on Jahed Sadeh. You remember him. That's that 13-year-old with the big, what is it, 1,000-watt transmitter living in a strip club. A 13-year-old. You remember him. Everybody's jealous of him. I know I am. 13 years old, living in a strip club with a big transmitter, blasting pirate radio. Anyways, an update on the 13-year-old. He was served this last week. Actually, Friday, was served with a second cease and desist order by Industry Canada. He could face a $5,000 a day fine and up to a year in jail. He goes on to claim that he will stay on the air. His father, George, finally seems to be realizing that they just can't win this one. According to his dad, both he and his wife have told their son, Jahed, to turn off the transmitter. Junior, it appears, is still vowing to keep transmitting. I've gone over to the website. It says off air at this point. Maybe he was transmitting over the weekend, this last day or two, but I believe he his site is no longer transmitting. I have to keep an eye on it over the next day or two. But finally, apparently, his parents have come to the realization that the government means business, and Industry Canada is threatening him with a $5,000 a day fine, and that does tend to wake them up just a bit, that they can't just keep going on broadcasting. Talking about enforcement action over in the UK, pirate radio stations in Huddersfield has been shut down. Actually, two pirate radio stations in Huddersfield has been raided and shut down. Ofcom officials, that's Ofcom over there in the UK, has pulled the plug on Vibes Radio and Frontline Radio, which broadcast urban music. The two stations, Vibe and Frontline, which have been on the move frequently to avoid being caught, their transmitter being shipped around, was tracked down by the communications industry regulator to adjacent properties in Almondbury on Wednesday. This is just this last Wednesday. A 21-year-old woman was arrested. The stations, which operate on FM 90.6 and 94.7 respectively, mainly played reggae, R&B, and soul. They were broadcasting primarily on the weekends and survived thanks to revenue from some advertising by small businesses and promoters of nightclubs in the area. The man behind Vibes, which is known only as The General, has been involved in pirate radio for over 20 years and have kind of become a cult figure in the scene over there. But one 21-year-old woman was arrested, and both stations, Vibes and Frontline, have been taken off air. And that's all the pirate radio news in the news this last week.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law.
The FRN Forum postings.
Well, with that, it's time now to take a look around the internet for some relevant forum postings on pirate radio, starting off with the free radio network, frn.net/vines. Cracker's starting us off this week with a request to all the operators out there to send him your IDs and interval signals. He's got a show idea, and you can reach him at crackerradio@pmlol.com. crackerradio@pmlol.com. Send him your IDs and interval signals. Al Phantom notes that he is hearing voices on 6955 lately. Al Phantom hearing voices. Anyways, others have also heard comms on 6955 sounding like a foreign language net, so be careful of that. It's not a pirate radio station. Sounds like a net has centered on 6955. Over in the workshop forum, Quark posted asking about a possible grounding issue he was having, wondering about a ground system for a second floor transmitter. Problem seems to be the down lead from the second story to a buried ground system. The down lead does act as a radiator. JTA says to buy a 100-foot roll of speaker wire, strip the exposed end of the wires, twist them together, and attach them to the chassis of the transmitter. And this is something new I wasn't aware of. You don't even need to unroll the wire. and you will have two 100-foot ground radials, which will help keep your SWR down into a manageable range. IO Snopes is a rule of thumb that was used for many years is that the ground wire running from the station in to the ground post must be less than 10% of the wave, or about 12 feet at a 6925. The shorter the better, and if you can find a way to pull this off, it is the correct solution. An artificial ground works well if they are installed and used according to instructions. They have the advantage of working across a wide range of frequencies. The quarter wave ground radio, of course, is resonant and has a limited bandwidth, but I have never messed with the artificial ground. I'd like to actually hear a little bit more on that if people have used it. But if you can get that station on the first floor and use a short down lead to your radio ground system buried out in your yard, that is definitely the way you want to go. Also in the workshop forum, Outhouse asked an interesting question. He has a Cobra power inverter rated for about 800 watts continuous and 1600 watts peak. He'd like to use it to power his Kenwood TS520, which requires a 400 watt peak consumption. He thinks the inverter would be adequate to power the T520, but the inverter is a modified sine wave inverter. The manual specifically states this is for resistive loads and not for inductive loads, so he was wondering if the tube transmitter is inductive or resistive, and would the modified sine wave cause any damage to his radio or cause any unwanted issues with transmission quality? Well, the consensus seems to be that it won't hurt the transmitter or the inverter. It may put a buzzing noise into the audio chain due to a lack of the pure sine wave, but the inductive load warning is more for a large electric motor, so there should not be any damage done to the transmitter or the inverter, just a possible buzzing noise due to the pure sine wave output in the inverter. Over in the LPFM section, actually, I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, Radio Brandy announced on the 87.9 The Wave thread that he has set up a webpage for the station. 87.9 The Wave is a low-power radio station which broadcasts oldies format, can be heard from the coast of New Hampshire all the way down to Boston, Massachusetts. The Wave, playing a variety of music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. It can be found at... Well, it's got a kind of a long URL. I'll have links in the show notes. And finally, from the Free Radio Weekly, number 722, covering free radio activity from December 5th to the 11th, 2009, stations being heard on air include the stations of Channel Z, Mystery Radio, Outhouse Radio, Radio Gaga, WEAK, Week Radio, WMR, Wee Monkey Radio, Wolverine Radio, WTCR 20th Century Radio, and X-Ray Radio. Stations sending out QSLs this last week are the stations of Coconut Shortwave, there's one I haven't heard yet, Coconut Shortwave, Cupid Radio, Iron Man Radio, Outhouse Radio, X-Ray Radio, Chainsaw Radio, Radio Ronin, and FRS Holland. And LC reported receiving a special QSL package from Northwoods Radio, UP Pasties, a QSL you can really sink your teeth into. Well, he had almost as many stations sending out QSLs this last week that were reported this last week. That's really cool.
More music, less talk.
Cool. On Shortwave.
Merry Christmas.
Well, that was the new Christmas ID from our friends over at Cool AM, and with that, we're going to get into some off-air recordings. I'm going to turn on the radio here, and yeah, there you go. Channel Z on 6275 AM. It's 1606 right now, Sunday morning. Whole lot of static. I got actually he's broadcasting an AM, but I got it down on upper sideband with a real big notch filter, just trying to cut out the static. But he's cutting through the static pretty good there. Little Channel Z on 6275 came in about a half hour ago or so. Got alerted by an email. All right, Channel Z, very cool. Well, we got a couple off-air recordings for you this week. Not a whole lot. We're going to start with Lex. He's down in Texas listening on his Palstar R30C with some magnet wire just strung around his ceiling. Calls it his Fug Loop. He was listening to Wolverine Radio with another themed show, this time Booze, songs like the Andrews Sisters' Rum and Coca-Cola. This was recorded on the 12th of December around 055 to 0200 UTC, 34323, as Lex was calling it. Take a listen to Wolverine Radio.
Celebrate his leave, make every day like New Year's, drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Kumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar.
So who's through the whiskey in the well?
In the well.
Don't make the going rough, cause my baby might get tough.
Drink for pleasure, some drink coffee's wet, but I drink coffee helps me to think, and it helps me to forget.
Yeah, when you do your stuff, you feel I've had enough. Don't make the going rough, cause my baby might get tough.
Next up is Radio Gaga. I recorded on the Icon PC 1000, 6925 upper sideband, 2210 on the December 12th, SINPO 35343, a program of rock music. Actually, there's no ID in this clip. He didn't throw out an audio ID. He did an ID at the end of the show with some slow scan television images. But take a listen to Radio Gaga. We only have one more clip for you this week. Not a lot of clips out there. I didn't record much and didn't see a lot posted to the Drop or the FRN or HF Underground. So you only get three clips this week. The last one is Outhouse Radio, 6925 upper sideband. I recorded him off the Big Dipole, 2238, the 12th of December, SINPO 35433. Started off with Chainsaw Baby, which kind of thought I was listening to Chainsaw Radio, but a little bit later with the Outhouse ID, take a listen to Outhouse Radio.
Get back! old sheep.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Well, I have something you may enjoy. We're going to round out the program here. Steve and Janice from the International Radio Report, heard on CKUT out of Montreal, Canada. They went on a bit of a pirate hunting de-expedition, driving around the Montreal area looking for a signal on the FM band. I've cut this down a little bit. Take a listen. Links will be in the show notes to listen to the entire program, the International Radio Report, which is really a stellar program. But take a listen as they related their tale of driving around looking for a strange FM signal.
Steve and I had some fun last night with our one of our last DFD expeditions. Steve, you want to tell people how this all started?
Well, first of all, it started with an unidentified signal on 106.7 FM. I happened to, you know, just be tuning around like I do periodically, and something didn't seem right with country music on 106.7. And it's like mixing with, you know, WIZN, the Wizard, back and forth. I said, okay. So I'm thinking, is this some kind of weird conditions? Perhaps there's a signal coming from way far, you know? And it's like, no, it seemed different. So when we ended up taking a drive later, we had it on in the car, and we could tell in different areas of getting stronger. So we decided to go out and look, because we like to go hunt down transmitters from time to time. So we're in the car and we're checking, going through, and I had a feeling, you know, maybe going through like Lachine, that area, because due to where the antenna orientation was, that was the direction it was coming from. So we're driving around on the lake shore, and near in LaSalle, it was the strongest.
Yep.
And what did you say at that point?
Well, I said, because it was on 106.7, that was the frequency previously for Aboriginal voices that had gone off the air. And I said, you know what, country music, 106.7, you know, I bet it's on the res. I bet it's coming from the res. So at that point, we turned north and we headed up 90th, and we started to get away from the river, and the signal got weaker. It was about strongest at the river vis-a-vis 75th. So we said, you know what? Let's cross the bridge. And over the bridge we went, and then Steve said...
What did I say at that point?
You said you think it's up the 207 for some reason.
Yeah, it was down that direction, yeah. That's what I figured because of the orientation. Because what I had is my little MP3 player, and it has an FM tuner in it, which is total crap.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be basically under an antenna for it to receive it.
Okay.
So I'm listening on that, and it's starting to come in, and starting to come in. It's getting stronger, and then it's getting wider. So I'm tuning up to like 106.9. I can hear splatter. And we're driving around, and before you know it, I could hear splatter up to like 107.1 and all the way down to 106.3. So I said, well, I guess we're right on top of it now.
Yeah, and listening in the car, I mean, Steve's got a good ear for this stuff. You can hear all these cricks and crackles. And what was it you said? You could hear the...
Yes. First of all, I could tell, like I said, listen to that. I said, these are off a computer. Their MP3s running off a computer, because you could tell the different bit rates. Some of them had lower bit rate. You had that. It's like a washy digital artifact that you hear like on the peaks, and like almost like an underwater kind of wow, wow kind of thing. And then also you could tell the telltale signs is by the processing, like the peaks, like on the highs will go make like little crunchy noises because the compression and the automatic gain control is not adjusted correctly. It's actually, you know, spiking a little too high. There's not enough limiting. So usually you can tell because commercial stations, the tolerance for all this sort of thing is very, very tight. Mm-hmm. Everything has to be perfect. That's why you don't hear that kind of at the on the peaks on commercial stations. So when you hear like variable audio from different MP3 levels and stuff like that, then usually you know you probably have a pirate. And that was the first basic sign that I knew.
Right.
Maybe it was number two because I knew there was no country around 106.7.
No.
Aside from the no IDs, there was no IDs, no commercials, nobody talking, and there was. No. Well, that's the thing too. With the pirate, didn't have a lot of elevation because every time we went by a building or an overpass, wherever we were, it would fudge the signal.
Yeah, it almost sounds like they're running some power.
Okay.
Probably not much gain on the antenna, if any at all, and it's very low. Okay. It's not high up enough.
All right.
You can tell because there's areas where it's real strong, and then areas where it just dies.
Okay.
You know, and that's like usually low.
And was this still on this morning?
Yeah, it was still on now. It was still on as of 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And yeah, we drove up the 207. Past the gas bar, around the golf course, and they're up in there somewhere. It was pretty strong, but it was getting dark, and there's dirt roads with snow and stuff. We didn't venture too far off, but we know they're up there, up at the top of that ridge. And hey, kudos to them. Good for you guys. I don't think Industry Canada is going to go bug them down on the res.
Yeah.
Yeah, come get me.
Yeah, I could just see it. You know, you got someone saying like, yeah, I'd like to see you come get our transmitter. Hey, yeah, well, come here. We'll show you. Yeah.
Yeah, where are you gonna go get our transmitter, eh?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, anyway, good for I just hope that they start putting some IDs and stuff. That would be kind of cool. I mean, if you're going to, you know, we're talking about the dichotomy between this pirate kid up in Ottawa,
right,
who is out in the open and has got phone lines and websites and he's all out there. And then these folks who are running it and don't say a word. But it's like, yeah, if you're going to be a rebel, go for it. You know, put on some IDs. Talk to us.
That's going to wrap up this edition of the Pirates Week. We're going to get on out of here. So what did we learn this week? Well, we learned a few things. We learned a new pirate is operating somewhere in the Montreal area and probably native. We also learned the Media Geek is going silent, and I, for one, will definitely be missing that program. And finally, we need more squishy. Okay, guys, I'm out of here. As always, thanks for listening.
Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web. We meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.